yet modern medicine owes nothing to Darwinism. For one thing, mortality from infectious diseases in the West began declining before 1859, due in large part to public health measures such as the provision of sewage disposal systems and safe water supplies. It also included personal hygiene, as the story of Hungarian obstetrician Ignaz Semmelweis illustrates. While working in an Austrian hospital in 1847, Semmelweis noticed that the death rate of mothers from puerperal fever was much higher in wards run by medical students than in wards run by midwives. He also noticed that the medical students would go directly from the morgue to the obstetric ward without washing their hands. By simply requiring the medical students to wash their hands in a chlorine solution, Semmelweis reduced mortality from 30% to less than 2%. The modern practice of immunization also originated without any help from Darwinism. Before 1800, smallpox was a serious and often fatal disease. In the 1790s, English physician Edward Jenner found that by vaccinating people with cowpox, a much milder disease, he could immunize them against smallpox. The worldwide elimination of smallpox in the 20th century has been one of the most spectacular success stories in modern medicine, yet Darwinism had nothing to do with it. Darwinists claim that their theory is needed to deal with viruses such as influenza that evolve from year to year. But the preparation of flu vaccines depends on techniques from the fields of virology, immunology, and biochemistry, not evolutionary biology. The discovery of antibiotics. In 2001, the U.S. Public Broadcasting System, PBS, televised a pro-Darwin series accompanied by a book, Evolution, the Triumph of an Idea, which claimed, "The resistance that bacteria have to many antibiotics didn't just happen. It unfolded according to the principles of natural selection, as the bacteria with the best genes for fighting the drugs prospered. Without understanding evolution, a researcher has little hope of figuring out how to create new drugs and determine how they should be administered." Microbiologists generally use the word antibiotic to describe a substance produced by one microorganism that inhibits or kills other microorganisms. In this sense, English microbiologist Alexander Fleming discovered the first antibiotic, penicillin. Fleming noticed a culture dish of staph bacteria on which a mold spore had settled. Remarkably, there were no staph colonies around the mold, suggesting that the latter was producing a substance that killed or inhibited the staph bacteria. The mold was a species of Penicillium, another species of which is used to make blue cheese, and Fleming's training in microbiology enabled him to turn this serendipitous observation into a major medical breakthrough. Fleming published his discovery in 1929, but it wasn't until 1940 that chemists Howard Florey and Ernst Chain succeeded in purifying and concentrating the antibiotic enough to make it clinically useful.